Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm single parent this weekend, just for a weekend, but Michael goes to Japan for a week and a half.
Oh, no.
So I'm like already stressed about it a little bit, but he's going to the World Kudo Tournament. Oh, yeah.
But Japan, oh, that's so cool. I want to go to Japan so
bad. We were talking about we want to take a trip like every 2 years.
Oh, yes. So actually, this was after you had left when we were at Shirley's like dinner party or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We were discussing that about traveling every other year, every 3 years, like just us as a group, because we were talking about our trip to England.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do this again. Like, why don't we make this like a group trip for us, like different locations?
And we want Japan to be next.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We were also talking about Australia too.
Australia.
That would be
cool.
Yeah.
Australia.
I want to go. Don't you want to go?
Yeah.
I would, but you know how long that flight is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be fun though.
It's like an entire day.
It is.
That's like, fine.
That's fun. Yeah. It'll be okay.
Okay.
We'll survive.
Let's just see how we do on this flight, because I haven't had a flight longer than like 3 hours since I was a baby. So like, I don't remember my last very, very long flight, and 3 hour flights suck balls. So like,
we can keep it short. Maybe we'll just go to the Bahamas. That's like a few hours.
Yeah. You know what I would love to do? What? And that's pretty affordable, is to go on a cruise.
Me
We'd
too.
Do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do, there's a lot of different types of cruises we could go on.
Let's go on a cruise. Yeah.
They have this really, really cool one. It's like a true crime one.
Wait, is it like a, is it kind of, are you talking about like a, what we did, like a murder mystery thing where you're like involved
so.
In the...
I don't think it's like...
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Murder
like the
on
whole,
the boat.
Like the whole trip is literally like one big case.
You have to stay in character the whole time.
That'd be crazy.
I thought that's what you meant when you were like,
no, that would be cool. I think it's like a spinoff of Crime Con, which is like a true crime convention. It's got like podcasters and authors and detectives and like
these
fucking famous people there. Mm-hmm. And then people like me would be like, oh my God, Paul Holst. So I don't know what they would do on a cruise per se, but I saw it. It was advertised to me last year and I was like, I want to go, but I literally just had a baby, so I can't.
We should go on a cruise. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we should make that like a trip as well sometime.
Yeah. They're incredibly affordable.
Yeah.
Comparatively to like most vacations.
That's a good point.
Especially for a single person.
Yeah.
Like bringing your family on a cruise is harder.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing yourself on a cruise.
For sure. But who wants to go alone?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I want to go on a gay cruise. I do.
Whoa.
I'm trying to make it happen next year.
That'd be so cool.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've never been on one. I've had some friends who have gone on them, and they're so much fun.
Is it just, like, sex all the time?
I assume that's part of it. But that's not the reason why I want to go, but that is one. You know what I mean? Like, the side reasons would be fun. But no, I want to go just because I love the atmosphere of like gay life. Mm-hmm. I always, before my like a lot of my friends moved away, we used to like have these group gatherings where we would play
you would play board games and have dinners and stuff.
Yeah, I had a gay couple friends that would have like every weekend this party, this gathering of like, you know, 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
We were all gay. It was fun.
Yeah.
Not that you're gay like day. Not invited if you're, you know, not gay. But I'm just saying it was just like
you
fun.
You can
gatherings.
Only come if you like penis, but you also have a penis.
You have to prove it too.
Yeah.
You have to have pictures of you.
You got to drop trow and let somebody, you know, do something.
That's true.
It's the key to enter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a glory hole, back it up.
That's the key.
But getting together with your gay friends, oh my God, it's so much fun. That's awesome. So I assume that like a gay cruise would be really awesome.
Yeah, probably would be.
Yeah, we should do cruise. That's my vote.
We should do.
I would do that. Like I still am totally down to do Japan, but if we want to push that one off and do a cruise next instead, I would be down for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just think Japan, first of all, I think we would need a very long time to save up for it.
Yeah.
because this trip is only going to be affordable because, first of all, Christina helped pay for like half of our tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, we're not paying for a hotel or anything.
That is true. That's a huge expense that we're not having to endure. So
yeah.
Well, Tay's a world traveler, so for him it's nothing.
It's nothing. That's nothing for me.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I think Japan would be really cool.
It would be.
I'd like to go because I used to live there whenever I was like this big.
That big?
Yeah, this big.
That's really big.
2 inches.
I'm just kidding. So,
I don't really remember it very much. I think it'd be cool to go back and see if I could remember literally anything.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I was very young. I was like 5.
I mean, most of my travels, like when we were going to exotic places, were when I was really young too. I've been to Hawaii. I don't even remember it. We used to travel to many different locations where I barely remember. I haven't been able to travel as much these past like 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just
yeah.
Because of work. COVID definitely COVID messed everything up. So
really
I
did.
Haven't even been to see my family in the Czech Republic in over 4 years.
Wow.
And I used to go like regularly, like once every like year or two.
Yeah.
We'll make that our next trip then. Mm-hmm. We'll all go visit your family.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make that happen.
Would they like that?
I'm sure they wouldn't mind it. I mean, space wise, I don't know if I have like they have enough room for all of us, but we could definitely like
we'll
stay
all share
in like
an air mattress.
Yeah, we could do an Airbnb there though. it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I have a lot of family there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Well, happy Fears and Fridays. We are on Holy Gossip Girls. I'm KC.
I'm Faye.
And I'm Tay.
I guess let's dive in and talk about what we're going to be doing for the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
So we all, well, Faye decided that for our next movie review, we should do a documentary. And so we chose together to do one that had 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to split it up kind of into 3 of our episodes as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, let me grab my notes. I have notes on my phone. Did anyone else take notes?
I did not.
I took just a few.
I mean, I usually take notes with this one. I did not, but there's still a lot that I have in mind to discuss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you just finished it. And
well,
so
yes.
Did you.
Yeah.
I watched the first, I misunderstood. I watched the first episode like 4 or 5 days. Yeah. It was a while ago. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then last night we're discussing it at the get together and they're like, oh, well, we have to finish. We're doing all 3 episodes. I was like, what? So I ended up staying up until 2:30 a.m. watching the last two. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go now.
Were you working out simultaneously?
Yes, I was.
Knew it.
She, multitasker.
She knows me too well.
There's no way you were just lounging on your bed at 2:30 in the morning. Who does that?
Oh, yeah. Who does that? I work out at night.
I know.
I'm not going to waste my time lounging.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. So we are reviewing the docu-series Captive Audience. It was a 2022 documentary mini-series on Hulu that follows the life of Steven Stainer and his family, diving into the family's 50-year journey to unravel the tale of 2 brothers, one deemed a villain and the other a hero. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun,
interesting.
Dun, dun.
Had any of you heard this story before?
I have not. I've kind of, in a sense, like heard like versions of stuff happening like this.
Yeah.
But not like this one. This specific story was brand new to me when
me
I watched
too.
It.
Me too. And like it was so wild. I was like, how have I not heard this before?
It's crazy.
Especially with like the brother story too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay. All right, so chapter 1, Steven's story, starts in 1972. 7-year-old Steven Stainer, and this is straight off of, I think, the IMDb page.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the synopsis of the episode. 7-year-old Steven Stainer vanishes from Merced?
How was it pronounced?
I don't remember
either.
M-E-R-C-E-D.
Merced?
Merced,
maybe, right?
California. I don't know. I don't recall. Yeah. Vanishes from California. Mm-hmm. His family struggles to keep his case in the public eye until his heroic return 7 years later sparks media attention. Media sensation, sorry. Okay, so I have a few notes on the movie, but I also wanted to kind of talk about the case a little bit.
Okay.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about first before I kind of tell you some facts?
I found it interesting about how this story is kind of been in the development of, you know, like just decades,
yeah,
kind of, you know, way, not that like filming this, but that this family has been dealing with this for 50 plus years.
Yeah.
And that they got so many family members to still want to talk about it, who have probably had to deal with, like, you know, just people asking them about it 24/7 nonstop, yeah, for like decades, and yeah, they're still interested in talking about it.
So what seemed interesting to me was it at the very last episode, mm-hmm, it kind of, did you guys get the feeling that the daughter, Steven Stainer's daughter, was the one that wanted to do this?
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
She was like the organizer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting that she was the one that kind of was like, I want to set the record straight, so to speak.
Yeah.
And she was so beautiful. She, I really loved was, her hair so, she had
the
much,
best hair.
I mean, it kind of makes sense that maybe like it was her idea that she wanted to do this, because yeah, setting the record straight, I mean, there's just over time stories have been told, it's just like playing telephone where it just, mm-hmm, changes or morphs over time, and people are like, oh, I thought I heard this, or I thought I heard,
especially
that,
especially with then, that movie, yeah, that wasn't entirely, oh, yeah, factual.
That was interesting too, to watch, yeah, clips of the movie throughout this like short series, yeah, of the documentary was kind of eye-opening too, because I had never seen that movie.
Yeah.
But watching the clips, I was like, it's, first of all, it's interesting that they wanted to make a movie out of this, because it's really creepy to like,
yeah, uh-huh, the way that they like portrayed the want to make the movie was to like get the story told,
yeah,
it's very important, but like they changed it,
mm-hmm,
the so, writer is, yeah, even admitting like, here's where we change it to make the story better,
yeah, like exactly, we're gonna change the mother's entire character, we're gonna lie about how he met his wife,
mm-hmm,
like all
we're gonna make his dad evil,
yeah, and it's just like, for so it wasn't to tell his story, it was for, I don't
views,
know, yeah,
it was to basically gain momentum from saying based on a true story kind, yeah, of scenario, but really, yeah, it like is vaguely true,
yeah, mm-hmm, yeah,
yeah, it's just an inspirational kind of like idea for a story, yeah, I didn't like that,
yeah,
but I found it to be more, yeah, that's why I said it, just I didn't like it, because I found it to be more, it was like kind of feeding off of the just, you know, what had happened to the family, and mm-hmm, they're just like making profit off of it. I just didn't like that.
I mean, the mom said no.
Yeah.
And she was like, absolutely not. We're not going to dredge this all up and make a movie. But he was like, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Steven Stainer was the third of five children born to Delbert and Kay Stainer. He had three sisters and an older brother in 2002. Oh, we don't need to talk about that part yet. Sorry. the kidnapping. On the afternoon of December 4th, 1972, Stainer was approached on his way home from school by a man named Irvin Edward Murphy, who had become acquainted with convicted child rapist Kenneth Parnell. And I'm sorry. I know it was like the 70s, but like he was already convicted and went to jail,
mm-hmm,
and like how many times does he have to get convicted of the same fucking thing?
I don't think that's, yeah, a crime you should ever be released for,
yeah,
that should be a forever,
yes,
forever crime.
I agree,
because even be, after all of this whole story, he did it again,
mm-hmm.
Ugh, infuriating, but anyway. the guy that approached him and Kenneth Parnell both worked at a resort in Yosemite National Park. Murphy, I guess we don't really need to talk about him. Let's see. Sorry, I didn't like read through the notes very well. I was running out of time. All right. So acting on instructions from Parnell, Murphy passed out gospel tracts to boys walking home from school that day. and after spotting Stainer, claimed to be a church representative seeking donations. Stainer later claimed that Murphy asked him if his mother would be willing to donate any items to the church. When the boy replied that she would, Murphy then asked Stainer where he lived and if he would be willing to take Murphy on to his home to, like, get his mom to write a check or something.
Uh-huh.
And he's 7. Like, ugh, it's so sad.
Leave kids alone.
After Stainer agreed, a white Buick driven by Parnell pulled up, and Stainer willingly climbed into the car. Parnell then drove him to his cabin instead. Unbeknownst to Stainer, Parnell's cabin was located only several hundred feet from his maternal grandfather's residence.
Oh,
that's really sad.
Yeah.
Parnell molested Stainer the first night in the cabin. Parnell began raping Stainer 13 days later. On December 17th. Oh, okay. Whatever. On that specific day.
Wow.
After Stainer told Parnell many times during the first week that he wanted to go home, Parnell told him that he had been granted legal custody of the boy because his parents could not afford so many children and they did not want him anymore.
That's so sad.
And he believed him, which is, like, so tragic.
Yeah. I mean, at the age of 7, right?
Yeah.
He's new to the world still. He doesn't... I mean... Think back when you were that age.
I can't and even how innocent being 7.
And yeah. Like how naive, like, you know,
yeah.
we are as kids. And of course, like, I would have had the same kind of reactions.
I would have absolutely believed this guy. Yeah. Like, it's just so tragic that he spent the next 7 years remembering his family and thinking that they didn't want him.
Yeah,
so sad.
And like that this is his life now, to be fucking raped by this guy that calls himself dad. Like, yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, Parnell began calling Stephen Dennis Gregory Parnell, retaining Stephen's real middle name, which is interesting, and mm-hmm. his real birthday, which is also
that is very weird.
When enrolling him in various schools over the next several years, Parnell passed himself off as Stainer's father, and the two moved frequently, living in locations including Santa Rosa and Compte. Parnell allowed Stainer to begin drinking at a young age and come and go virtually as he pleased. Parnell also moved from one menial job to another, some of his work requiring travel and leaving Stainer unguarded. Like, crazy. Like, he really trusted this guy to just, like, not leave.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he let him go to school, like, is wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really must have fucking beat it into him to, like, never say shit.
Yeah, he grew up thinking his family didn't want him. Did he, at this point, I can't remember, did he actually believe that this guy had legal guardianship? Yeah. He still believed it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He brainwashed him, yeah, basically. So I mean, sad. At a young age, it was probably really easy for him to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really messed up. But, yeah.
And he's like, this is, you know, I can imagine he would be like, I do everything for you. You can do whatever you want. Like, mm-hmm. and whenever you give somebody like that much freedom, then they know that they feel, it's like brainwashing. It's mm-hmm. just like manipulating them into thinking that they have actual freedom when they don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's interesting to note, you're right, that the middle name and then the date of birth, mm-hmm. it's like he was changing things, but things that, like, didn't make it seem kind of like suspicious, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
like he wanted to play it safe, almost like he was just trying to make it believable.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, you know, like, obviously you still have the same birth date, but your parents don't want you anymore, so we're just going to change your name, like, yeah. this much. And yeah, so it was like, it was almost, yeah, see, it was manipulation. It really yeah. was. Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Oh, they talk about a dog. Do you guys remember a dog?
Yeah, I do.
Named Queenie.
I don't remember the name. I just remember the visuals of him holding the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about the dog. Okay, so you guys wanted to hear about the dog?
Yes.
One of the few positive aspects of Stainer's life with Parnell was the dog he had received as a gift from him, a Manchester Terrier that he named Queenie.
Aww.
The dog had been given to Parnell by his mother, who was not aware of Stephen's existence during this period when he was being held captive.
Aww.
For a period of 18 months, a woman named Barbara Matthias lived with Parnell and Stephen. Interesting. Was that in the...
Uh-uh.
Okay.
That was not in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back on that. I don't remember that, but it might have been a very short part. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is fucked up. According to Stephen, Barbara, along with Parnell, raped him on 9 occasions at the age of 9.
Oh my God.
See, I would have remembered that. Yeah. That was not discussed.
That was not left out in there. Yeah. In 1975, on Parnell's instruction, Barbara tried to lure another young boy who was in the Santa Rosa Boys Club with Stephen into Parnell's car. The attempt was unsuccessful. And then Barbara later claimed to have been completely unaware that, quote unquote, Dennis had been kidnapped.
No, she's lying.
Why would she be okay with raping, like,
someone's actual son?
Yeah, I mean, that's
a dumb idiot.
Terrible too.
Yeah,
but like,
that's pretty. Yeah.
I don't know the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ugh, ugh. Mm-hmm. Gross. Anyway, so that is the first episode. All right. So some of my notes are like the movie they made. What I didn't like about this whole series is the way that they pieced it together.
Mm-hmm.
It was very unpleasant to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like, it was nice, like you said, it was nice to like kind of see those little clips from the movie, mm-hmm. but I didn't like them.
The way they kind of like threw them in, it got a little confusing at times.
It did. Yeah.
Like, I was like, all right, what's going on here? Oh, okay. They're showing a scene. Oh, okay. Now they're reenacting by like reading scripts and stuff like that. Oh,
that really didn't like.
Really hated that. And I have that in my notes here.
It
so
felt distasteful to me.
So distasteful to have the child actors that played the children in the made for TV movie reading actual interviews of the kids.
I did not like that.
I hated it. It was so fucked up. It felt very icky.
It did.
Yeah.
That was my least favorite part.
All right. And then my last note is I can't imagine what his family went through.
Yeah.
Oh, who could? Honestly?
Yeah.
They were talking about it in such depth about how the father was like, he was determined. He kept always like searching and searching, and every time they would have a lead, he would work so hard to like make sure that it was a real lead, right? There was one that stuck out to me. It was the one about like someone was like, let's give him closure. Say that, he was buried somewhere and he spent like all this time digging,
excavating,
and never,
like,
yeah,
the entire
never found
mountain. Yeah.
That's okay. So I have to say on two things, I don't like condone that, but I understand what someone was trying to do to help the father like find closure. But at the same time too, that was messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you don't know that he's dead.
Oh yeah, point. Absolutely.
So you're giving him closure, but that could just lose all his hope.
Yeah, it was totally uncalled for. And in fact, something like that, when it was disproven that was true, that person should have been arrested for like false information. Like, what is it called when you lie, like not under oath, but you give false information to the police, kind of thing. Yeah.
Something, I can't remember.
Something like that. But he should have been charged for that, because that was definitely not okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had to have been. There's no way they spent all that money like digging up all that land too and didn't like charge that guy or give him like the fattest fine.
Absolutely. He deserved that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just horrible. But the dad was just so, you know, like I would understand that. I mean,
yeah. I can't imagine it. Like, and to have all those other kids too, like, how do you navigate that? Like, how do you navigate giving attention and love to your kids that are still with you while still being like probably obsessed with the one that's not there?
Yeah.
You have to mask your emotions. You have to hide it from them because you don't want them to see the emotions that you're constantly going through for 7 years.
Yeah.
They have to, I mean, you have to show them that you're strong as a parent, that you're, you know, you're still taking care of them. But at the same time, too, I mean, you're still devastated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But the mother, too, she was quite determined as well. And then that really, that was a really sad moment, too, when they, you know, like, came up to her and they're like, all right, we have news. And she's like, oh, it's bad news.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like immediately, that's what she said that she was like, she jumped to immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you couldn't after that much time.
Yeah. I would lose all hope, I think.
Yeah.
If that was my kid, there's no way I would think they're still alive.
After 7 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, how could you?
Yeah.
Because even if you were to think that they're still alive, what kind of life are they living?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, oh, it's so sad. Well, do we have anything else we want to say about the subject?
Just for the first episode, I'm trying to remember because, like, it was first and the second episode are kind of bleeding together for me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if I want to mention it in the second part or,
Yeah. So the second part is like the escape. That's the first thing we're going to talk about next episode. Okay. So anything about like his kidnapping and, anything else?
Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was interesting. At the beginning, there was like a news interview with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said that they believed that he was just taken by someone who wanted a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's weird that that kind of ended up
being what
being the
was.
Truth. Yeah,
that's weird. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Huh. Yeah, to have that kind of idea right off the bat and then actually be the case, I find that to be very interesting as well. Like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that could have happened, and that's like one of the conclusions that they jumped to in the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know. But also, like, all the whole story about his new school, his friends, things like that. That was quite interesting too, to like learn how he kind of readapted and had his like, you know, his new life with these like new friends.
Yeah.
And how nobody really questioned it until, you know, like at a certain point.
They just thought he had a cool dad that let him do whatever.
Oh yeah. But then I think they were mentioning how they were never like allowed though on the property. It was always like, oh yeah, we can hang out, but not at my place. We'll have to do something like that. I think that was right. That was what they said, right?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was also one of the mothers of the friends was like, I have a bad feeling. I don't want you to go over there ever.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Really interesting.
Mother's
too.
Instinct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys next Friday for part 2. And like we said, follow along watching the series on Hulu. It's called Captive Audience. And then I got some of the notes on Wikipedia for our sources. And I guess that's it. Follow us on social media and let us know on Instagram, what you thought of the episode and kind of maybe your theories.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.